daf is Chulin daf Yud Ches. We left off daf Yud Zayin and Beis in the middle of discussing pegimos in the sakin and how to check the sakin properly, the shechita knife properly. So we mentioned yesterday that the Gemara keeps on saying that the ideal way to check the sakin, it went through various ways, with water, with sun, with all sorts of ways of checking the knife. But then toward the end, the Gemara kept on saying that you check it atufra va'abisra va'atlasa ruchta, that you run the knife along the fingernail, along the flesh of the finger, and you do that on all three sides, on the sharpness of the knife, on the slight right edge and the slight left edge of the knife. So we mentioned at the end yesterday that it seems that that's not the minog anymore. That's not how people check the knife. So the Prima Gadim in Mishpasa Zav, Nyardea Simin Yudches, Sivkat and Beis, and Sivkat and Vav wonders why it's Beferish and Shas and Poskim. That's the way you're supposed to check the knife. So why do people not check the knife that way anymore? So the Prima Gadim says, yeah, so the Charedim and Yireim should really check it, Bisra Vatufra, Kadasu, Kalacha. They should really check it the way it says in the Gemara. But the bottom line is people don't. So the Aruch HaShulchan in Simin Yudches Siftes Zayin writes that the reason is that Bizman HaShas, the knives weren't particularly sharp, and the sharpness of the knife, the edge of the blade, was not nearly as thin as the edge of our blade. So when they would run it across their basar, across the flesh of their finger, they wouldn't cut themselves. But our knives are made in such a way where you run it across the fingernail, fine, but you run it across your basar, you'll keep cutting yourself. And therefore, it's impossible to check Abisra anymore without cutting yourself every single time. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation. In the Darkei Tshuva, in Sifkat Nun, and Sifkat Nun Aleph, he brings from the Sefer Pardes of Rashi that the bedika on the flesh is only to see if the knife is sharp. The bedika on the fingernail, that's to see if there's a pegima in the knife. But on the flesh, it's just to see if the knife is sharp. If that's the case, we understand very well why we're not bodek abistra anymore, because nowadays the shochtim will check on the basar if it's sharp, but they're just not going to run it along the basar. They'll just touch it to the basar to see if it's extremely sharp. That people still do. They just don't run it along the basar to check for pegimos. Now, it's certainly not the pashtus in the Gemara that abisra is just to check the sharpness of the knife. Certainly not mashma that way in the poskim. But the way the Darkei Tshuva says is yesh lanu ilan gadol lismoch alav. Rashi is a pretty important person that we could be samech on him in this regard. And Darkei Tshuva says that he heard from a lot of shochtim from a lot of different places that they all say peh echad, that there's not a single shochet bodek that's knowing to be machmir on this issue. Even the shochtim that are muflagim biyiro, mahajim and a mahadrin, doesn't matter, people aren't knowing this, so that's the Minig Yisrael has become not to be machbid on this exact form of bedika sakin. But in discussing these different forms of bedika sakin, the Rav in Shiurei Rav on page Kuf Yud Ches Kuf Yud Tes has the following fascinating discussion. There's Machlokas Rashi and the Bahag in regards to the psul of ikur, that Rashi holds ikur means you shecht with a sakin that's pagum. And when the Mishnah says on Tezvavam Beis Bakol Shochtin Chutz Mimagal Katzir VaMagira Mipnei Shem Chonkin, it doesn't mean that it's not considered a Maisa Shchita at all, and therefore it's not it's just not Shchita. It's not V'Shachat. It means that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that there's ikur, that this is called ikur, that when it grabs onto the simen, as opposed to just slicing it, that's called ikur. So even though it was a maisa shchita, halacha l'moshe misinai, this shchita is possible because it's ikur. That's shitas Rashi. The Bahag holds that ikur means that nishmatu simane habehema mimekoman, that the simanim that you're supposed to cut were removed from their original location, and therefore shchita won't work on them. But if you shecht with a sakin paguma, you don't need a halacha l'moshe misinai. That's simply not called shchita. So it's already in the Sma'it from the pasuk v'shachat. So if you shecht with a sakin paguma, this is the machlokas Rashi in the Bahag. Rashi says it is shchita, just halacha l'moshe misinai, that it's called ikur. And the Bahag says it's not a shem shchita at all. The main nafkamina between Rashi and the Bahag. So one nafkamina is if you shecht with the miut basra with a sakin paguma. Let's say you get through rova the simin with a normal slice, and then after you got through rova the simen of the simanim on a behema, you then the pigima caught on to the siman. So according to Rashi, it's mistaver that the shechita is going to be pasul, because according to Rashi, even a shechita b'sakin peguma is nisma'id from halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. We pasul it based on halacha Moshe Mitzrayim in hilcha shechita. So even though this is called a ma'isa shechita, but we have halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that a pegima is going to be is going to pasul, and all the psulei shechita apply even in the miyut basra. But according to the Bahag, the shechita b'sakin peguma is just choking. It's not called shechita at all. So what would be if you shecht rov simanim of the behema and then you club it over the head with a baseball bat? So the halacha would be that that's a perfectly valid shechita because you already finished the shechita when you get rov simanim of the behema. So if, according to the Bahag, the whole issue was that it's not called shechita. Good, so it's not called shechita. I shechted rov simanim and then I put my hands around its neck and I choke it. Fine, the shechita's already done. So good, it's not called the ma'isa shechita anymore. But all you need is rov simanim. So according to the Bahag, that would be kosher. So the other nafkamina of Soloveitchik says is this Gemara, that the Gemara says Rav Chista held the pegima sakin is kepegima samizbech. We're about to read that, and the pegima samizbech is kadesha tachkor batziporin. How big is the pegima? Enough that your fingernail could get caught. And we say in Eretz Yisrael, though, they checked b'shimsha, b'narda, they checked b'maya, they checked with the sun, with the water. Rav Sheshes checked with his tongue. So the fact that they didn't check b'tziporin holds that they hold a different shear in the size of a pegima. And the Raman Hilch Shchita writes, afilu a pegima. It doesn't matter how tiny the begima is. As one of the shittos was even a hair. You could check by a hair. If a hair would get caught, it's already possible. So the Rush says, we paskin like Rav Papa, that you need a bedika sasakin abisra v'atufra v'atlas ruchta. And that's the same as the shear of shetachor batziporin. Meaning if the shear of the begima that would possible is shetachor batziporin, it makes sense that the bedika sasakin would have to have something to do with the fingernail, because that's what you're checking for. Shulchan Aruch writes, Shir Pegima Kolshu Ublvad Sheteh Gorba Kolshu Afilu Kuchat Asa'ara. Shulchan Aruch says even the tiniest amount. Shach writes, in the name of the Bach, to be make like the Sheet of the Rush, that only if it's a large enough Pegima Shetach Gorba Tziporin. So what's this Shaila Tali on? How big the Pegima has to be in order to passel? So says our Salvechik, it's Tali in this Machlokas, Rashi and the Bahag. According to Rashi, that is Shechita with a Sakin that's Pagum, is considered to be a Maisa Shechita. It's just that there's a Halach on the Moshe Mitzrayim that it's called Ikur, so it's Mistaver that there has to be some sort of shear to passel the Shechita. What's the shear of Ikur? So then you would say it's Shetachor Batziporin. But according to the Bahag, that a Shechita with a Sakin that's Pagum is passel, because it's simply not called Shechita at all. If it catches at all, that's simply not defined as Shechita. It's considered Chanika B'Alma. It's considered that you're just choking the animal, so it's Mistaver that no matter how small the pegima is, that's called chanika. It's simply not a shem shechita. And therefore, as long as there's any pegima in the sakin, even a hair, even the amount that water wouldn't flow down the knife, the edge of the knife smoothly, whatever it is, even these tiniest amounts would be a problem. So that machlokas, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the machlokas between Rashi and the Bahag on Daf Tesamad Aleph in regards to what the definition of ikur is and what the problem is with shechting the sakin peguma. Okay, let's go back in the Gemara now. So we're again Yudzayim Beis, again still discussing the pegimos of the knife. I'm not sure exactly where we left off yesterday. I figure about 10 lines from the bottom. Ravina Varacha Breda Rava.
Seven.
Wow, we got past that. Okay. Rav Yemer, perfect. So Rav Yemer Amar, Atuf Rava Abisra Tzricha, Atfos Rutcha Lo Tzricha. That to check the knife on the fingernail and the flesh of the finger, you do need, that you should do, but you don't need to do it on three times. You don't need to do it on the edge and the slight right edge and the slight left edge. Milo Amar Rav Zeir Amar Shmuel, Libin Sakim V'Shach V'Shkudasa K'sheira, Shechiduda Kodem L'Libuna, because, and he explains the reason why you only need to do on the edge of the knife and not on the right or the left is because we said earlier that if you heat up a knife and you shecht with it, the shechita is kosher, because we don't assume you're burning through the simanim, we assume you're slicing through the simanim, because the sharpness of the knife cuts the simanim before the sides of the knife, before the heat has any effect. V'kashalon, but we ask, well, that's greater as far as the tip, the edge of the knife, but ha'ikat studin, what about the sides of the knife that are still very hot? V'amrin v'es ha'shechita mirvach ravach, and the Gemara gave the answer that no, that once you slice into the simanim, they separate a little bit, so the sides of the knife, when they go through the area that you've already sliced, aren't actually touching the simanim. There's a little bit of a separation between the sides of the knife and the simanim. That the beis hashchito is mirvach ravach. So hachanami over here also, beis hashchito mirvach ravach. If you don't have any pegimos along the edge of the knife, even if there is a little bit of a pegima on the right or left side, but the right or left side doesn't touch the simanim. Once the edge of the knife cuts through the simanim, so it's mirvach ravach. It's the two sides that you just cut separate from each other a little bit, and that's why pegimos on those sides of the knife aren't going to be a problem. There are three halachos that relate to pegima. There are three dinim of pegima where we find that a pegima is going to be a problem. Number one, pegima is etzem bepesach. There's a halach you're not allowed to break a bone of a korban pesach. So what's the definition of breaking a bone? Even if you pogame the bone just a little bit. Number two, pegima is ozen bebechar. The halach by a bechar is that a bechar develops a mum. Then you're allowed to shecht it b'medina. It doesn't have to be brought to a kohen as a carbon or anything. So just pegimas ozen b'bechar is enough. Even if the ear of the bechar is pagum, that's enough to determine that it's a mum. And number three, pegimas mum b'kadshim, that a pegima of a mum in kadshim. That the Rishonim over here discuss what's the difference between these two. What's the difference between pegima of a mum in kadshim and pegima of an ozen b'bechar? But these are all kachim related issues that are tali in pigima. Rav Chista Amar Af Pigima Sak, and Rav Chista says there's a fourth halach of pigima, and that is the most popular halach of pigima, the pigima of a knife that used for shchita. V'idach b'chulun lo kamayri. And the reason Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish didn't have that on his list is because he says I'm only talking about kachim related issues. Pigima sakin is a din even in chulun, even when you're just stam shechlin basar taiva. V'kulan pigimasam kedei pigima samizbeach. And what's the shear of a pegima for all of these dinim of pegima? The amount of a pegima that would ruin the mizbeach. The kama pegima samizbeach. How much of a pegima would ruin the mizbeach? Yeah, that's the halacha is that the mizbeach can't be pugged. The mizbeach has to remain perfect. It can't have any dents in it. That's what the Gemara in Sukkah says. That when the when you had people who were tzedukim that were being menasech the mayim on the mizbeach and they would be menasech al gabei raglav because they didn't hold of nisach hamayim, didn't hold of the Torah shebal peh, so kol ha'am ragmosam esrogen, the people would throw their esrogim and stone them with their esrogim because they saw that the person wasn't observing the Torah shebal peh, and the Gemara says over there that one time the mizbeach became nifkam because of that. They were throwing their esrogim in, so they chipped the mizbeach, and that was a big problem. That passed the mizbeach. So it says over there that they had to stick a piece of salt or something, a block of salt, into that pegima, not because that makes it kosher, but at least it doesn't look as bad, just to fill it in. So how much is the pegima on mizbeach? How much of a pegima would ruin the mizbeach? Kadesh. Even just small enough that you could catch your fingernail in it, such a pegima is going to ruin the mizbeach. Frektosos vim tomar veheich banu a mizbeach. How did they build such a perfect mizbeach that there wasn't even a single edge that was tachkor batziporin, a single dent in it? Ta ana yimtzu avanim below pegima. Where do you find rocks like this that don't have any pegima whatsoever? Vim yachliku bebarzel ikisur d'losan v'leim barzel. So you say, what are you talking about? My countertop is made out of some type of stone that's perfectly smooth. So what's the problem? All you have to do is cut it properly. No, but by the mizbech, you aren't allowed to use any barzel in the cutting of the stones. So what in the world did they do? So he says, "V'lekel the member nami ali de shamir dimkein ali de shamir nami lo yu chalakel shalot tachur ba benetziporin." He says, and he goes to prove that without getting into it, he proves from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that it couldn't be that the shamir is what cut it to without any pegimos. Shamir is incapable of cutting it in that way either. So he says at the end, "V'yishlom the parakeizu mukabin mashma shabanu osam ba'avanim ketanos chalakos shlo hayibem shum pegima." It wasn't one big rock; it was many very tiny rocks that didn't have a pegima in them. Kigon chalukei avanim shel nachal, like the rocks that you would find by a stream. Now the Rambam writes that the Shir Pegimus HaMizbeach and Beis HaBechir Perakal V'Loch Yudalin is Kedei Chagiris HaTziporen, but by Shchita the Rambam writes Pegima Kol Shu Pasul. So that's a little bit strange because our Gemara is associating to our Gemara saying all these dinim of Pegimos, all of the din of Pegimus HaMizbeach, and that's Kedei Shetachar Batziporen. So the Rambam splits the Pesach, says by the Mizbeach is Shetachar Batziporen. By Shchita, and even a Kol Shuhu. So there are two terutzim that are given by the Akronim. The Lev Aryeh explains that the MS Chagir Tziporin is going to passel. But by Shechita, if you check your knife and it has a Pegima that's less than Chagir Tziporin, you have to worry that as you're doing your Shechita, the Pegima is going to get larger. What did we say before? That any bone that it comes into contact with, any even the skin sometimes when it comes into contact with, could make a Pegima. It could certainly enlarge an existing Pegima. So the Rambam says that as a Harchaka, as a Chumrah, but really only Pegima Shetach Rabat Tziporin is actually going to passel. The Yerios Shlomo, quoted by Shar Mitzvah Balach over here, suggests that midah raisa the shear of a pegimas chagoras tziporen midah rabbanon were machmir with a shear kol shehu. So by kachim the rabbanon were never machmir, they left it al din Torah. But by chulin, by dinim of shchita, they decided to institute this chumra. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now, meisvei kama pegimas hamizbeach. Wait a second, you just said pegimas hamizbeach, that would ruin the mizbeach, is even enough to get your fingernail caught in it. But kama pegimas hamizbeach, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Tefach. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says it has to be a Tefach of a dent in the Mizbeach. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer Kezayis. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says it has to be a Kezayis. Both of those Shirim are way larger than Shetach Kabat Tziporen. Says Mar Lokasha. Habasida Habaavna. It depends which part of the Mizbeach had the dent in it. Was it in the place of the seed or of the Evan? By the Evan, even a tiniest nick on the Evan is going to ruin the Mizbeach because you need Avanim Shlemos. By the seed, the cement that held it all together, so that's where we have a shear kazayis or a shear of a tefach. Now the Rambam based on Bechira Perak based Alach Yuches Paskins like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and he says, and the Kesef Mishnah says, because Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was married to Talmud at Tfeimer Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, that he was a greater master of Talmud than Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov was. I, generally speaking, we always pass like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, because we say Mishnah Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kavod Naki, so it could be that that's only by a Mishnah, not in a Braisa. That's how the Kesef Mishnah suggests, that even though generally we always pass like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, because Mishnah so Kavod Naki, that Kavod Naki means Kav is a measurement. So he speaks very infrequently in the Mishnayos. Whenever he spoke, he made sure that what he had to say was perfect. And that's why we paskin like every time he speaks. But maybe that's only in the Mishnah, maybe that's not in the Braisa. In Rabbi Kiva Eger, his ha'ara is that the Kesef Mishnah associates himself, because in a lot of places he writes that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, because Mishnah so kavanaki, even though it's referring to a Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov of a Braisa, not the Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov of a Mishnah. So it's a bit of a stira in the Kesef Mishnah. Over here he says he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov because we don't have the rule of Mishnah so kavanaki. So the Yad Malachi says that Luli de Mistafina, he would say that this part of the Kesef Mishnah was never written by the Kesef Mishnah, it was Eze Talmud Toa that somehow worked its way in. It's too blatant to steer in the Kesef Mishnah. You have to say that we would normally pass on the Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov even from a Braisa. It's just that for whatever reason he thought Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the rule that you should pass on the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, outweighs the rule of Mishnah Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kavinaki. One more point, the Tulsus Masechah Sukkah and Daf Mem Tes, and that sugya I was referring to before, says that Pegima Samizbeach passels because the Mizbeach needs to be Ravua. The Mizbeach needs to be a perfect square. Ravua Yiyah Mizbeach. So the Bir Alach and Simon Lamed Beis and Hilchas Tfilin discusses the issue of Rivua B'Tfilin. And he says it's Pashut that a Begimat Ketana that happens in the bottom of the Tfilin, Kadesha Tachkor Batziporin, that your fingernail can get caught on it, that would not take away the Shem Rivua on the Tfilin. And even so, the Sofer should be very careful not to make any Pegimos, but B'Tievet, if it got ruined, a Mashahu, that certainly would not ruin the Tfilin. And his Raya, the Bir Alach says, from here, that by Sid, it doesn't say Shlemos, and therefore you could have a Shir Tefach or Kazayas of a Pegima up until a Tefach or a Kazayas, that's not going to ruin it. So by Tefillin, it doesn't say Shlemos, there's just a requirement that it be Ravua, like the Mizbeach, and therefore it could have a bit of a dent, a bit of a nick, that's not going to ruin it. The challenge is in figuring out what exactly the Shir is by Tefillin, meaning what kind of Pegima would take away the din of Ravua by Tefillin. By the Mizbeach, so Tefach, Kezayis, you take a Tefach out of your Tefillin, you don't have Tefillin left. The Tefillin are much smaller than the Mizbeach, obviously. So it's not so posh, it's not so easy to figure out what the Shear is when it comes to Tefillin. That's the Safek the Bir Alacha raises. Okay, Vaiter, Amar Rav Huna, Hay Tafcha D'lo Sorsa Kina Kameh Chacham Misham Tinan Leif. If you have a Shochet who doesn't show his knife to a Chacham, we put him in Cherim. V'Rava Amar Ma'avrin Inan Lei, Rava says, well, we fire him, umachrezina na bisre de trefahi, and we announce to everyone that his meat is trefa, and you can't buy meat from him. So velo pligi, in fact, this is not a machlokas. Meaning the first one was you put him in shanta, it's one thing, but to fire him and say that all of his meat is trefa, so kan bishanimse sakino yafa, kan bishalonimse sakino yafa. The difference is, one is where he just didn't show his knife to a chacham, but it turns out his knives were really fine. So in that case, misham tinalei, because he had the chutzpah to not show the cover to the chacham. But when you find that his knives were not fine, well, then you better announce to the public that they can't buy his meat and that it's trefa. Ravina amar hecha delo nimse sakino yafa mimas mislei beparsa dafilov chacham nami lo mizdavin. If we saw that he just did a shechita and the knife was actually not fine and therefore the animal is a trefa, we don't only announce that it's a trefa, because then the guy's still going to be able to sell his meat. He'll just sell it to a guy. We take excrement and we throw it all over the meat to ruin the meat entirely, so that he shouldn't even be able to make a living selling it to a guy. So very, very strong repercussions for using a bad knife to do the shechita. Hahu tavcha, there was a certain shochet, the lo sar sakinu kamid Rav Bar Chimna, that didn't show his knife to Rav Bar Chimna. Shamte va'avre va'achrez abisra d'trefahi. So Rav Bar Chimna put him in shamte, in cherim, he fired him, and he announced that his basar is all trefa. Iklu marzut ravashi lagabe, so marzut ravashi went to him, amr luhu, and Rav told marzut ravashi, la'aynu rabba b'milse d'tal de beitifli, says that maybe you should look into this guy's issues, and maybe see if you can come up with a way to get him his job back, because he has young children, Nebuch, that rely on him for parnasa. So now that he doesn't have a job, his children are suffering, and that's not fair to the children. So Butker Rav Ashi the Sakinev Nimtzes Yafe. So Rav Ashi checked the knife, and it turned out that the knife was fine. So the guy, it was a chutzpah, the guy didn't show his knife to the Chacham, but his knife turned out to be fine. So Va'achshirei, he allowed the meat. So Amrlei Marzutcha V'lo Lechosh Mar L'Saba, how could you do that? Aren't you Choshesh for the kavod of Rava, who originally fired him and didn't allow him to do shechita anymore? How can you reverse a psak of Rava? So Amrlei Shlichusei Kavdin, I said, no, Rava asked me to look into it, to find a het there. So I'm not going against the psak of Rava, I'm doing exactly what Rava wanted me to do. So this is the issue we just spoke about on Tuesday night. When you go to one rabbi and he gives a psak, can you go to another? Can the second rabbi reverse the psak of the first rabbi? That's Gemara Nida Daf Chaf, where the Gemara says that if a chacham was oser, another chacham is not allowed to be matir. So Rashi over there said that the reason is because of the kvodo shel chacham rishon, which seems exactly what our Gemara is saying. That what was the concern? How could you do this? What about the kavod of the first chacham? If it's mishum kvodo shel chacham rishon, then it makes sense that if the first chacham is mochel, then it's no problem. And over here, that's exactly what happened. Rava was mochel. He said, Adrabah, I would like for you to be able to find a way to get this fellow's job back, which is against the rush at the beginning of Avodah Zarah. The rush in Perek Aleph Simon Gimel in Avodah Zarah writes that the reason that the second chacham is not allowed to paskin different than the first chacham is because shavi anaf sheichatich diyisura, that the person who asked the shayla was shavi already took it as an iser, and that's why you're not allowed to paskin lekula after you already paskin lechumra. That has nothing to do with this gemara. It sounds much more like Shitas Rashi, that it's all a din in the kavod of the chacham. Amar Rabba Bar Huna, shein t'lusha v'tziporin t'lusha, if you have a detached tooth or a detached nail, mutter lishchapa l'charchila. As long as there are no pegimos in it, you can use it l'charchila for shchita. Ay, v'anantran chutz mimagul katzir v'amagira, v'hashinayim v'atziporen m'pnei shein chonkin. On the list of things that choke the animal and don't slaughter straight, were shinayim and tziporen. So shein ha-shein l'kasha. Teeth is not a problem. Habachada habatarti. If it's one tooth, it's going to slaughter properly. If it's two teeth, so in between the two teeth, it can get caught, obviously, and that's going to choke the animal rather than slaughter the animal properly. Tzipar not tzipar lo kasha, and fingernails also not a kasha. Habit lusha b'mukhberes. The difference is whether the fingernail is detached or attached. When it's still attached, then it's no good. When it's detached, it's fine. Frektosos, why didn't we say the same thing about teeth? That there's the differences between whether they're attached or detached. So he says, yeah, gabi sheina v'matzi l'shnei yehachi, el mishum nasisin tani v'ashinayim d'mash matrei, mishum achi nami mukla b'tlushim upsulin m'nei shein chonkim. That because it said shinayim, which was different than shein, so we thought that was a more obvious diuk to make, that the difference between two and one. But in a chinami, the difference between attached and detached would have been fine as well. So this idea that we're mishamtinanei, that we put the guy in a shamta, First of all, the idea of being marisak in the chacham, the Rishonim all point out already that nowadays the Rush writes in Simcha of Dal, nowadays we're knowing that we appoint a shochet who is trustworthy, who knows how to check the knives himself, and we therefore don't require that knives be shown to chachamim. Now, if a rabbi goes into a shachtais, the shochtim will still traditionally give him the knife, but they will shecht at the beginning of the day if a rabbi's not there, and because the Rishonim already say that, we're just more careful. That's what the Kabbalah is for. Why does the Shochet need to have Kabbalah? So that's part of what it's for, that he has a Kabbalah, that he's Yirei Shemayim, that he's going to check the knives properly. That's part of what we ascertain from the very beginning. So the idea that we put the guy in Shamta, if he doesn't do it, is all the Din Chutzpah, that this is related to the Gemara and Brachos, Taf Yutes. The Gemara says, Minadin al Kavod Rav, when someone is not Mechabed the Rav properly, so we put him in a Nidoy. The Rambam writes that the reason that we're Minadin him is because sometimes people are going to be somech on a shechita some other time, and some other time the knife is going to be pogum. So even though now it turned out the knife wasn't pogum, you never know what's going to happen in the future. That's why we put him in a nidoy, because we're afraid of future repercussions. And it seems that it's based on our Gemara, because our Gemara says that this guy didn't show his knife to a chacham, we put it in a shamta. So what's the chiddush? Because we're menada al kavod of the chacham? Of course you're menada al kavod of the chacham. No, the point is that it's not just the kavod of the chacham, that the point is that we need to put him in a nidoy because we're afraid of what's going to be in the future with the fellow's knives. It's also a very interesting discussion about how much you have to take into account the children of the person who lost his job as a shochet because he decided to not take his job seriously enough and not do his job properly. The Gemara says that his children, they had to look for a hetzer for the children. So that's what a lot of the Achronim say. Marash Engel has a tshuva where he says that we only are concerned about the children when his sin was one of chutzpah. But if his sin was one of being machlum nevelos and trefos, well then we should worry about the children that are going to be eating his nevelos and trefos. What is he doing to those children? So why should his children? Have the upper hand over the children who Nebuch are going to be eating nevelos and trefos as a result of this guy? So if he's actually machlum nevelos and trefos, then we wouldn't care. I mean, we care, and it would be great if the community would support the children in some way. But we wouldn't let the guy continue to be a shochet on account of his children. It's only if he's not being machlum nevelos and trefos. Okay, new Mishnah. Shochet b'magal katzir b'derech halichasa b'shamei pelsim b'sul machshirin. If you have a knife that has a pegima that's very much pointed in one direction, so if you slice in one way, it's definitely going to catch the animal and it's going to be chonek. But if you shecht in the other way, it'll go right. It'll go smoothly. So if you push the knife across the way that the opposite the way that the pegima is, it would shecht smoothly. So what if you do that? So b'shamei says still possible. Still says kosher. If you smooth out the tooth of it, then it's going to be just like a regular knife. Even when Basil says kosher, doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat from the shechita. It just means that the animal's not going to have a din of a nevela. It's not going to have tumas nevela. But eating from it, absolutely not. So it's meduyik in the Mishnah, because if it was about whether you're allowed to eat from it, it would have said asur mutter. It doesn't say asur mutter. It says pasul kosher. That makes it sound like it's about a different din. It's not about eating from it. So frankly, Gemara, no. But if it's about tumah and tara, it shouldn't be pasul kosher either. What should the language be? Well, tameh listening be shamei mitamin uveisil mitarin. If you're talking about tumas nevela, so tameh tar is the terminology of choice when you're dealing with tumas nevela. Why would you say pasul kosher? No, pasul kasher is asur mutter. So it really is about achila. It's not about just tumas nevela. It's about whether you're allowed to eat from it. Sounds from the Mishnah. Okay, next Mishnah. Hashochet mitoch hatabas. So this you really need a little bit of a picture for to appreciate what the esophagus of the animal looks like. So there are these rings that run around it that don't completely go around on all sides. Rashi gives some great detail, but at the tip of it there is one large ring that goes all the way around, a ring of cartilage that goes all the way around. So that's the tabas. All of them are called tabaos, but the tabas is that one big ring on the top that goes goes all the way around. So if a person shechts on that spot of the animal, this sugya is going to be about what's called hagrama. There is a certain part of the animal where the shechita has to be done. If you cut the animal in half across its torso or whatever, that's obviously not a good shechita. There's a limited area, a limited space that you can do the shechita. So we're going to be, if you do it outside of that area, that's called hagrama. So we're going to discuss the upper limit of how high up on the animal's trachea you can still cut. So if you shecht mitocha taba'as v'shir ba meloa chut al p'nei kula, but you leave at least the thickness of a string of the taba'as still on the other side of where you cut, then shechitas ukshera, meaning basically you cut in the middle of the taba'as, that's kosher. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Domer, meloa chut al p'nei ruba. You don't even need to leave you don't even need to slice through the taba'as clean. You could slice through rova the taba'as and then angle the knife where you go beyond the tabas, that's okay also. As long as rove the tabas, you slice through, that's okay. Rav and Shmuel dami tarvay alach Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rav and Shmuel both said, like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, v'af Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda lo omar, ela b'tabas ha'gedol lahol makev skolakana. Even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda only allows you to cut through that big ring on the top, since it surrounds the kana entirely. Avol b'shar tabos, but by all the other rings of cartilage that only go like a horseshoe shape halfway around, or three quarters of the way around, low. You're not allowed to cut through those taba'os. You have to cut in between them. You're not allowed to cut through them. Ubishar taba'os, low. Really? Is that true by other taba'os? You're not allowed to cut through them. Vatani, that's not called the kana. Vatani, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah Omer. Didn't Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah himself teach us? Hashokhid, Bishar taba'os, afal pishein, makifus as kalakana, al makifus as rovakana, shkidas kshera. That it's kosher if you shech through those taba'os. How can you say that you're not allowed to do it? And then we just mentioned very much Derech Agav, nothing related to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the next line and a half. Umugremes psula, hagrama is pasul, hey Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus al mugremes shik shera. And Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus was made that mugremes is kosher. What's mugremes? Rashi writes, umugremes afilu ruba betocha taba'asu mi'uta lamala mitaba'as ha'gadola, Umilsaban binafshi, vistamiv, Rabban Karmila, this is about the Rabbanan, that if rove of the Shechita is inside the Tabas and a little bit is outside the Tabas, that's going to be pasul, but Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus was made that that's going to be kosher. Fine, that's a totally different issue. What's our kasha though? Our kasha was, how can Rav and Shmuel say that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda would pasul the Shechita done in the other Tabaos, in the horseshoe shaped Tabaos? Didn't Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda himself say that it's going to be kosher if you slaughter through the horseshoe-shaped tabaos that surround the kana? So that's the question. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Rav Yudah Tarti Kamer. Rav Yosef, Rav Yudah actually said two things. Rav and Shmuel, Sabri Kavasei B'chada, Opligi Alei B'chada. Rav and Shmuel agree with him on one issue, they disagree with him on the other issue. Meaning, when it comes to cutting the kana, he holds, first thing Rav Yosef, Rav Yudah, first chiddush that he had was what it says in the Mishnah, that ruba kukula, that if you cut in most of the tabaas, and you leave a little bit of the tabas aside, on the other side of it, that's fine. You don't have to cut clean through the entire tabas. Ruba's kakula. So as long as rove of it is bachelor is fine. And also, he said, cutting through the other taba'os, the horseshoe-shaped taba'os, is also okay. Rav and Shmuel held like the first thing he said, they didn't hold like the second thing he said. So essentially, when Rav and Shmuel say that cutting through the other taba'os is no good, that's their own shita. That's not Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So, frankly, Gemara, v'halo amar ka'amri. But the way Rav and Shmuel said it, sounded like they were qualifying what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said, not that they were saying their own thing. So, achi kamar, halacha kamosa b'tabas ha'gadol v'en halacha kamosa b'shar taba'os. What they meant to say is that we pass the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda by the Tabas HaGadola, but not by the other Tabas. Okay, now the Gemara tells a story. When Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zera, the Gemara in several places tells us it was a big event in his life when he went to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Shabbos Memalv tells us that Rabbi Zera was Mishtan Mined Rabbi Yehuda, Dabai Lemesk Laradi Yisrael. He knew that his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, wouldn't want him to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he tried to avoid him before he left so that he would be able to go. He didn't want the Rebbe to keep him back. The Gemara in Bamatzia says when Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, he davened that he should forget all of Talmud Bavli. He wanted to completely imbibe the style of Talmud Yerushalmi, of the way that they learned in Eretz Yisrael, that he wanted to forget all the Talmud Bavli. Rabbi Zeira was in Eretz Yisrael, Dikiyid. He was very machmed on Minhagi Eretz Yisrael. So fine, so Rabbi Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael. He ate what Rav and Shmuel defined as Hagrama, because again, Rav and Shmuel had this Chumra, that it's a violation of Hagrama to cut through the Taba'os. So he would eat from such Shechita. Don't you come from the place where Rav and Shmuel are the Marad Asra from Bavel, and therefore shouldn't you observe the halachas, the psakim of Rav and Shmuel? Some, even though Minagar Yisrael is mekel on this issue, Samar Lahu Manamra. He said, well, first of all, on whose authority do we know that Rav and Shmuel actually said that? Yosef Bar Chiya, it's only Yosef Bar Chiya who claims that Rav and Shmuel said it. Well, Yosef Bar Chiya Mekuli Alma Gamir. Yosef Bar Chiya will take anyone's edus about anything. So I don't try. Yosef Bar Chiya, sometimes he'll say things in the names of Gedolei Yisrael, and sometimes he'll hear it from Stam people who aren't so reliable, and he'll still say it as if it's true. So I don't know that Rav and Shmuel said it. It's only Rav Yosef who said that Rav and Shmuel said it. So Shomer Rav Yosef Ikbid, Rav Yosef said, hey, that's not nice. What do you mean? I'm not reliable. Shomer Anam. So he says, what, you think I just take from anyone? You think I heard this from anybody? I'm not Rav Yehuda Gamirna. I heard this from Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda is so careful about things that he quotes. He makes sure to attribute everything. If he's mesupak about who said it, he'll tell you both sadim of the safek. Dom Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiyah Baraba, safek mishmei derav, safek mishmei deshmuel. When Rav Yehuda wanted to teach us his din, he wasn't sure who he heard it from. So he told us, I'm not sure. Maybe from Rav, maybe from Shmuel. That if you don't have a mumcha to be matir b'char, you could use a basin of shlosha. But you see how careful Rabbi Yehuda was to make sure he got it right. And I heard this from Rabbi Yehuda. So how could you tell me that I didn't hear it, that it's inaccurate, that I'm working on inaccurate information? So the Shor Mitzvah B'Halacha, unbelievable, of your quotes to Yerushalmi in Shabbos, where it says v'isha muna mi yimtza, the pasuk of Mishlei says zera b'zera shlomer shmua b'shem adam elim kenis amis lo b'vad. That's Rabbi Zeira, our Rabbi Zeira, who was so makbid, he would never say anything over unless he knew exactly who he got it from. And that's why, that's why the Yerushalmi says, "Less anan tzrichin choshen l'shmosid Rav Sheshes do gavra miftacha." That we don't have to worry about what Rav Sheshes says, because Rav Sheshes sometimes would report things inaccurately. Says the Karban Eid on the Yerushalmi, why would Rav Sheshes report things inaccurately? Because he was blind. So a lot of times he was relying on recognizing people's voices, and sometimes he wouldn't recognize the voice properly. So he didn't know necessarily who he was hearing things from. Who else was blind? Rav Yosef. So that's exactly the same issue Rabbi Zeira and Rav Sheshes has in the Yerushalmi. It's Rabbi Zeira and Rav Yosef over here. That Rav Yosef, because he was blind, he thought Rabbi Zeira thought you couldn't rely on him. Anyway, if Rabbi Zeira, let's assume that Rav and Shmuel didn't say it. Still, Rabbi Zeira should have observed the Chumrah, because the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun, the Mishnah Pesachim Daf Nun, the beginning of the fourth parak, tells us that you have to observe the Chumras of the place that you came from, as well as the Chumras of the place that you're going to when you travel from place to place. Says Gemara 2 answers. Amar bai hani mil mi bavel bav meret shol eret shol ina meret shol bavel. Avon mi bavel eret shol kimi danan kefinu lu avdim kavasayu. When you go from bavel to eret shol, since we are completely kafuf to the bnei eret shol, you can take on all minhag eret shol. Forget about the minhag bavel from where you came from. We're completely kafuf to the bnei eret shol. Tosus points out that in Sanhedrin's mashma the other way, that the bnei eret shol were kafuf to the bnei bavel. Says it really depends on what the issue is. Okay, there are certain legabe certain inyanim we were kafuf to the bnei eret shol in chachma in regards to power and money and things like that, the Bnei Yisrael were kafuf to the Bnei Bavel. Sometimes nothing changes. Ravashi Amar Afilu Teim Mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael. Even if you're saying that we're going to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Hani Mi Lehecha De Daito Lachzar. Rabbi Zeira Ein Daito Lachzar Hava. That's, you only have to keep the chumras of Bavel where you came from if you plan on going back. But Rabbi Zeira had no plans on going back. Rabbi Zeira, his dream was to make Aliyah, and he did. He was not going back. He was staying for good, and therefore he didn't have to observe the chumras of Bavel any longer. Amli Abay l'Rav Yosef v'Harabam da'asim yimachuza Amri Mishmei d'Rav Nachman Mugremes Ksheira. But the Rabban who came from Machuza said in the name of Rav Nachman that Mugremes of that what Rav and Shmuel define as Mugremes is kosher. So how could you say that the minhag of Bavel was to say it's pasul? Rav Nachman was a very big rabbi in Bavel, and he held that it was kasher. So how can you just say, matter of fact, that yeah, that in Bavel the minhag was to be machmir? Answers Gemara: Amalei naru naru pashte. Each river flows in its own direction. Basically, not all of Bavel had the same minhagim. There were different streams within Bavel. Some people were knowing one way, some people were knowing the other way. Okay, coming up next, the Gemara is just going to go through a list of various psakim of people in terms of what the upper limit of the Shechitas HaKana is. We'll start with that tomorrow.